Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. This is me again. This is Brenda K. Sanders. Well, I am here another day looking at some news events and just reviewing some kind of data that I've been looking at as it relates to judges, the disciplinary numbers in terms of what judge is likely to be removed from the bench in Michigan, and what is their gender or racial composition. Today, I considered what would prompt a Department of Justice probe for racial reasons or even sexual discrimination reasons. And I believe Michigan is very ripe for such a probe, given the just small bit of research that I did today. Of course, pursuant to the Elliot Larson claim, and I would probably have to look and see what the measuring stick would be for the Department of Justice, but I assumed what they would do is determine if a disproportionate number of blacks and females have been targeted for corruption and then disciplined. The Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act is a statute that was enacted in Michigan, I think, I needed to look it up, in 1981. And just based on statistical data alone, a plaintiff could launch a claim for discriminatory mistreatment under that act, and just based on sheer numbers. And I don't know, you know, I haven't reviewed all of the act and the language of the act. I don't know if it's been modified since we prevailed in the University of Detroit case back there in 1983, 82. But certainly that was the initial premise of the act, was just based on statistics alone. You didn't have to go into anybody's mindset. You didn't have to anticipate or interpret what one was thinking when they may have, you know, given you a D and they should have given you a C or something like that. It was a sheer statistical data where one could raise and sustain a claim for discrimination. And I believe that Michigan is ripe, given what I've seen, just a few articles I reviewed today, based on who's disciplined and how, even in equity as it relates to whether a judge is removed, is that the same for another judge that may be Caucasian or some other race? Do they get a break and the black judge has to be removed? I believe, and I don't know how it's going to be sparked. I believe that I'm raising the issue now, and I believe some other judges should raise the issue. I mean, I am a, during my first term of office, I have been disciplined. Well, two formal complaints have been lodged against me, and my pay has been suspended 3 times. And, you know, they have provisions for what, I don't know what the other ones are, reprimand or something like that. But, you know, I don't see it where it's ever imposed as it concerns an Afro-American judge. I was reviewing, and in disciplinary proceedings that are lodged for and are politically motivated are simply an abuse of the whole process. And that, I know, is a civil claim in and of itself, that if you're politically motivated to discipline a judge and it's not based on anything but politics or you don't like them, well, certainly that is an abuse of process, and it constitutes really prosecutorial misconduct, and it should be addressed. Now, today I took the time just to review some of the articles about the judges that have been removed just prior to me in recent years. Judge Beverly Nettles Nickerson, 2007. Judge Deborah Ross Adams, recently, I think that was last year, the chief judge of Inkster Court. I can't recall her name. She was removed as well. And some other judges, and I can go on and on. But even looking at Judge Service, and he was not an Afro-American judge, but certainly targeted for, and this is an article I have up on my Twitter page, he felt, and I looked at the article, and he and some other judges, not that Judge Service, but another judge said that she felt that she had been spied on in the court. And another judge said it when I looked at the article. And I really agree with that sentiment. I know at the court where I was, I always felt like I was under some kind of camera review. And I recall, and this is true, I mean, we all look at TV and talk about scandal and all of that, and we rush to look at those programs, and I don't, because the reality of those programs is very, very, very disconcerting. When you can see yourself in one of those scenarios. One of the scenarios I did note, however, I've never raised any issues because, you know, just being aware of things, and they have certainly, in these articles I reviewed, did confirm my suspicions, is that I was being spied on in some way. I recall in a on one of my cell phones, old cell phones, in 2013 or something, I put that on my cell phone, that it feels like I'm being spied on. I put Peeping Tom on there because that's what I felt like. And some of these other judges felt the same way. And I've come to learn. I mean, I'm one of those really, I'm really not well-versed in cell phones. I'm kind of like a dinosaur. It's on the cell phone. Through, and I was advised by someone that knows that it's done all the time, that they can literally peek into your private life by listening on the phone through your Messenger app and some other apps I was advised of. I'm saying, well, wow, in that instance, then they can hear everything, and I do and say. Now, is that proper? No. I know that you, if you want to know my private information, you should go get a warrant, and should not be searches should not be conducted under the guise of, well, we want to clean your carpeting in your chambers or anything like that. That is forbidden. So we as judges, I noticed a number of judges also were personal issues. With Judge Serva, something about what he said at a party to a woman. Now, who would know that except the two people who had a conversation? And then if the outside allegations came, somebody had to be, you know, prying into his life. And that's most of the way I see it with most of the judges that have been removed or disciplined lately. It's personal issues and not anything that they've done on the bench. That's disturbing to me, and I believe the Michigan Supreme Court should certainly review that issue because it's a political, personal agendas are exposed for judges, and yet they are never exposed personally. And I think it's unfair. It's a violation of right to, of one's right to privacy. Like I said, it's a that's where the public trust is violated right there. I myself have become acquainted with this issue of cyber stalking, cyber bullying, cyber listening, cyber oppression, cyber lynching. It certainly is very, very, very prominent and prevalent on these cell phones. I mean, they have trackers and so forth, and I believe they're used politically and abused for political purposes. And so a judge may be subject, and it wasn't the case with me, but I am now made aware of those instruments that are being used to spy on judges. And I believe it should be stopped. I believe the Department of Justice should come in to the Michigan court system and really do a review and see if these are the kinds of practices that are being employed to spy on judges. And so those are some of the things that I learned from reading the articles that I read today about the other various judges that were removed. And I think it's an issue to be looked at in terms of discipline. Is it fair for Black American judges or female judges? As opposed to other judges, is it being fairly applied? Are removals the same for maybe a Caucasian judge or white judge that may be disciplined? I think it's a issue that needs to be addressed. No one has raised it, and yet it is so it's such an emergency issue, in my opinion, that should be addressed. Now, another issue that I discovered, like I said, being very naive about things, is that I know on your government computers there in your offices or chain, there is a remote access to your computer, and I confirmed that by outside computer firm. I paid my own money to have that investigated. I just simply, my computer continued to lock up, to just do a lot of things. I had to have a lot of service to my computer. And I just began to suspect something about my computer wasn't right. I did employ an outside computer firm that confirmed to me that your computer may be hacked. And someone is maybe, you know, exactly. That's where I learned the term remote access, may have remote access to your computer. Also, too, an employee in retaining this computer firm, I had to give them remote access to my computer. And then that's when I put two and two together, that is a very, very strong possibility that when you're on a government computer or your private computer, someone is illegally reviewing your information. And that certainly should be something that should be addressed unless someone has probable cause, obtain a warrant or to review private information or to track a judge on the phone. And so I believe that constitutes most of the personal issues that I have seen, and it's not necessarily the case in my case. Well, I thank you for listening to me, having a listening ear here. about these ongoing situations. I would like to thank you for listening to the broadcast today, listening to Set the Record Setting the Record Straight. You may email me at bks1233@outlook.com. Again, I'm looking for those emails. I haven't seen them yet. Tomorrow, I will be talking about Voya Financial. We must begin to address institutions that monetarily oppress us and deal with the power that they have over us politically. And when they engage in political behavior with the monies we have in store or have stored up for retirement and so forth, I see a lot of political playing when we request our money out of our retirement accounts. I think it should be addressed again. It's something that we can deal with, ask questions about, and raise issues about. Well, I will talk to you next time, and have a good evening.